This is North Sound 1 Friday Sports.
Hi, good evening. Welcome to North Sound 1's festive Friday Sport, where in the next 60 minutes we bring you everything you need for a complete weekend of sporting action ahead. We'll look back at yesterday's disappointing defeat at the hands of Motherwell and ahead to Sunday's visit of Ross County right here on the North East, number one for sport across the region.
This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1, the best preview of the weekend sport action across the North East of Scotland and beyond.
This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1. First up, as ever, looking back on yesterday's defeat, here's Dons manager, Derek McInnes.
I think over the piece, the performance was fine. I thought we were a better team, certainly the far more dominant team. You know, I think in that opening 25-minute period, I thought the tempo of our play, our passing was really bright and slick, and the movement was really good and caused Motherwell team problems, you know, but what we need from the back of that is what we're looking for is certainly goals, and we missed a couple of opportunities from good passes of play, and I felt that we got ourselves into good positions and just weren't being positive enough. You know, we said to the players at half time, if there's a chance to be positive and keep creating that tempo, you've got to do it. You can't be playing safe and playing letting them get bodies behind the ball, you know. But for me, games like that can happen, you know. They then get something. Second half, they get we lose a really untidy goal, you know, and it gives them something to hold on to. Just reinvigorates them, you know. But I still felt that players deserve a lot of credit for keeping going. We still asked questions of them. I still thought we were a team that looked more likely to score. I don't think Jamie's had a save to make. I don't think they've really offered anything other than the goal to score. So it feels a bit smash and grab, but we look at our own side, our own selves in it. We think that we've picked a team today that we thought could cause them problems, and to an extent, I think we did.
With United losing and Inverness drawing today, does that add to the frustration for you?
I'm be honest, I don't ask other results, and I'm genuine with that. I'm only concentrated on where we are. You know, today was an opportunity to win 3 points, and. And obviously, if we'd won the game, then the league table looks a lot healthier. But at the same time, there's going to be more challenges ahead of us. There's going to be more opportunities ahead of us. I'm very sure that's going to be the case. But there's not a lot between a lot of teams in the league at the minute, even the ones sitting in the top half. You know, there's not a lot between us all. And that consistency that we've shown up until today is going to be vitally important if we want to finish where we want to finish come the end of the season.
Good evening, this is North Sound 1's Friday Sport. I'm Dave McDermott and I'm joined in the studio by Dave Galloway and Andrew Shiney. Evening, chaps.
Evening, Dave.
Good evening, David.
Burning question, how's Beards for Bairns getting on?
Oh, not too bad so far. My wife did say to me before I came out tonight, she said, it's about time you had a shave. I said, oh no, I've got to wait another month.
Yeah.
But no, it's all right.
Yeah, it's not too scary yet.
A little bit of facial growth coming through, but it's looking all right, actually.
It's the away matches during January when we sort of arrive and get funny looks, because I think most people in the northeast will eventually know about what's happening, the money being raised for Archie.
Yes. I'm sure we'll manage to get in. You know, we'll all have our little button badges to say that we're raising money for Archie, and well.
Please don't laugh at us.
Better get some testimonials from a few people to hand over at gates as well when we try and get
indeed.
In.
I think indeed. So. Right. Dave, yesterday's game, Derek in the immediate aftermath of the game, and you could hear the frustration in his voice. It was Dick Turpin-like, the way that Motherwell got the points.
Yeah, an absolute classic smash and grab. We dominated for long chunks of the game, but you know, the golden rule is when you're on top, you create chances, as we did. If you don't put them away, you're going to get hit on the break. And the boy, Anier, he has got pace to burn. We mentioned that in commentary, didn't we? And, you know, he really punished us. A bit of slackness, I think, by Willow Flood, and then Anier just raced onto the ball, squared it, and Ainsworth tucked it into the net. But very, very frustrating. But, you know, we just need to keep our patience and our discipline. You know, if we play like that, more often than not, we will get a goal. We were very unlucky as well.
Yeah, Andrew, the goal itself, you know, if you're defending, you head the ball up. If you're attacking, you head the ball down. But Willow, I think it was just a bit of a comedy of errors, but we were on the attack, and the annoying thing was it came off the back of Ryan Jack's head. He knew nothing about it, and it just it was right into the path of Annie.
Well, exactly. I mean, when you look at it, you can see exactly what Willow's trying to do. He's trying to head it back out to Michael Hector to keep the attack going, but unfortunately it hits Ryan Jack in the back of the head and then fell perfectly for Henry Annie, who, as Dave said, has got loads of pace. From the Motherwell perspective, it was a perfect counter-attacking goal. And again, looking at it through Stuart McCall's eyes, it was a perfect performance by his side because they did soak up a lot of pressure. I thought Dan Twardzik played extremely well in goals. They rode their luck, there's no question of that. The two Niall McGinn free kicks that rippled the side net, Joe Shaughnessy's shot, that when I've seen it again now, it took a deflection, then went onto the post, and how it was given as a goal kick is still beyond
me. We all said at the time
we thought it was a save. But it actually came off a defender and then went off the post. But Kevin Clancy didn't have his finest day at the office, I'm afraid. There was a couple of penalty shouts, the one with Peter Pollitt in particular. I haven't seen it again, but with the naked eye, first time around, you thought that was a definite penalty, as was the one with Barry Robson. But when there was no protest from the players, you think, well, okay, maybe, you know, was seeing it through the red tinted glasses on that occasion. It was a solid challenge from Keith Lasley on Robson, but no protest from the players, so you think, well, maybe that one wasn't a penalty, but the previous one, it looked a stonewaller. And from people who were closer to the action than we were, said, yeah, Fraser Kerr had his hand in Pollitt's shoulder, he was pushing him over, but Kevin Clancy, no interest in that. But yeah, a very frustrating day for Aberdeen, made doubly frustrating by the discovery after the final whistle at Pittodrie that United had been hammered down at Love Street. Cali Thistle had
Newson Mirren Park.
Sorry, I know.
I know you said that you got it wrong yesterday as well.
I've only been to the place once. That's the problem. and Cali Thistle dropping points at Partick Thistle as well. You know, one goal and would have been second top, and people would have been slightly disappointed that we hadn't won the game, but they'd have been delighted that we were second top. So, I mean, as Derek says, you know, you can throw a blanket over the sides in positions 2, 3, 4 and 5 at the moment. There's only 2 points between them, and, you know, you look at the fixtures, Cali Thistle are going to play Celtic on Sunday. You're not expecting them to take 3 points from that game. Partick Thistle are playing Motherwell. Could be a difficult game for Stuart McCall's men. St Johnstone at home to Dundee United. Again, St Johnstone made it fairly difficult for Celtic yesterday. How are United going to react to being beaten for the first time? But then we've got to play Ross County, and that's not an easy fixture for us. But yeah, looking back in yesterday, it was a tale of frustration, but there were still positives to be taken. There was a lot of good football played by Aberdeen, and there's a long, long way still to go, so let's not get too despondent about it.
OK, we'll look ahead to the Ross County game a bit later on, but the man of the match yesterday, as far as the sponsors were concerned at least, was Johnny Hayes. He's been speaking to Red TV, and he says the Dons must overcome stuffy opponents.
I think we're going to get that a lot now when teams come to Pittodrie. They're going to sit in. We didn't really deal with it last year. We've dealt with it better this year, but unfortunately today, we just wasted our chances in front of the goal. We had a few golden chances, including one for myself, and we didn't take them. Unfortunately, we got punished. I think that was the only way Motherwell were ever going to score today. Hit us on the break, and there was a bit of a look about how they got in on goal, but as soon as they got the goal, they just camped back in the edge of the 18-yard box, and it was difficult for us to break them down. But we still had a few half chances, and I really thought we'd done enough to win the game today.
Yeah, they had something to hang on to, Motherwell, and Johnny mentioned his miss, which he said off Mike that he still doesn't know how he missed it, because it seemed far easier to score.
Well, when you saw it, it was a perfect cross from Niall McGinn, just inviting the header. But to be fair to Johnny, he made great ground from his left back position to get into the box on the blind side of the defender. Just unfortunate that when he got there, he wasn't able to direct the header on target, because anything on target, I think, was going to be in the back of the net. But, you know, it's that fine dividing line between, you know, creating chances and actually finishing them off. Had we scored then, that was 14 minutes into the game, I don't think you'd have seen Motherwell being too much of a threat, because apart from the goal, I can't recall any real threat from Motherwell to Jamie Langfield. He made one direct save from Paul Lawson. Joe Shaughnessy made a good block in Henry Annie in the second half, but that apart, Motherwell didn't create very much, but the record books show that they won the game.
Well, the race to finish runners-up in the Premiership will have many twists and turns, as Michael Hector tells Red TV.
It's a tough competitive league, and everyone wants to get that second place behind Celtic, but I think we've got a good chance of doing it. We get the draw, we even win today, we're second on the table, and it's just those little things that can make us comfortable second instead of struggling to get the second place.
Let's face it, Dave, there have been many seasons where we'd have given our eye teeth to be sitting 2 points off second and still in both cups, say, at this stage.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you know, to some extent, Dave, it's a bit of a season of transition. It's, you know, the new management team in place. And as they say, Rome wasn't built in a day, but there's so much promise that we've seen so far this season. There's so much more promise to come as well, and the fans have really bought into it. We need to mention that 12,500 were at Pittodrie for the Motherwell game, including, what, 132 Motherwell supporters.
Four came in late because we gave us 128. Yes. Car broke down.
You know, but you know, the Red Army have certainly bought into it, and you know, they can see what Derek McInnes and Tony Docherty and the others are trying to achieve, and I'm sure they will get there, but there are going to be twists and turns. Of course, there are.
Yep, certainly more twists and turns to come, and we'll start. We've looked back at yesterday's defeat, and after the break, we'll be looking ahead to Sunday's visit of Ross County.
North Sound One, the official station of the Dons, keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie. This is Friday Sports.
And the time is 17 minutes past six. As we said, Ross County come calling on Sunday, and the gaffer says it will be a tough one.
Difficult game. Hopefully we'll pick the team that we think can do the business for us on Sunday.
Good opportunity to bounce back quickly, though.
Yeah, that's right. We can't afford any hangovers. No, we'll stress the fact to the players to be professional and make sure physically they're right, but you're right, spot on, to be mentally right as well, making sure that there's no hangover for us. Of course, we're disappointed. You know, there's no really any time to dwell on it. We just make sure that we're ready to go toe-to-toe with Ross County next time out.
Andrew, you know, bogey clubs, they get spoken about. Two spring to mind this season. Well, last season as well, in the case of County Hearts, we seem to have a problem with at the moment. But Ross County, they have an annoyingly good record against us.
It is only four games, but we've never beaten them, and we don't score a lot of goals against them, so it's time to put that record straight. And as you say, you look at the foot of the table, Ross County and Hearts, we've played the pair of them three times in total, and we've lost all three games. So, as I say, time to put that record straight. But, you know, County, they're having a torrid time this season. Since they beat us up at Dingwall in October, they've only had one draw and eight defeats. And they seem to have a problem that if they lose the first goal, they just don't have the wherewithal to fight back and get anything from the game. And looking at the highlights of their defeats yesterday against Hibs, they look a bit lacking in terms of organisation at the back, dealing with set plays, because it's two simple headers from corner kicks that Hibs scored with. And when you've got players of the ability of Niall McGinn and Barry Robson at set pieces, you would hope that this is something that Aberdeen can perhaps capitalise on Sunday. But I've seen County on a number of occasions, and they're a stuffy side. They're so difficult to break down. But, you know, their confidence must be ebbing away, and Derek Adams has got a huge job to do in the January transfer window to try and bring some new faces in, reinvigorate Ross County. But I suppose they'll look back to last season and think, well, we were second bottom of the table, I think, at this time last year, and we went in a great run. Was it 8 wins in 11 games or something like that, and very nearly got themselves into Europe. So history has a habit of repeating itself, but let's hope it doesn't in terms of results against Ross County on Sunday, and we can, as I say, lay that hoodoo to rest and kickstart the second period of this season for Aberdeen.
Yeah, I think it's important, Dave, that, and I'm sure that it'll be exactly what the manager is saying, that the Dons come out the blocks at a fairly sharp pace, because an early goal against a team that is perhaps low in confidence, then it normally does knock the stuffing out of them.
Yeah, there's the oft-used phrase, of course, go for the jugular. That's what Aberdeen have got to do. And I think if we do get that early goal, it might just be a case of how many. What we have to bear in mind as well on the back of the Motherwell defeat is that, you know, there have been times when we've lost a game, but we've always bounced back this season. Bounce back ability, if you like, for want of a better expression. That's all down to the great spirit that Derek McInnes has instilled in the squad.
Yeah, and we'll come on to the team selection a wee bit later, but Mark Reynolds, we've gone back just briefly, that if he'd been there, his pace might have been crucial at that goal, because he's always the one that stays back for any time we're attacking.
He tends to be the last man, and as you say, he's got great pace, and he's got the defensive nous possibly that Johnny Hayes didn't have, or Ryan Jack didn't have, as they track back to try and shut down the danger. But that's all ifs, buts and maybes. Hopefully Mark will be back fit again. He does look as though he's still got a bit of a sore face. Whether he managed to eat very much of his Christmas dinner, I don't know. But
liquidised, maybe.
Yeah, I think he probably had to take it through a straw. But it will be good to have him back. You do miss him. I mean, he's an integral part of the Aberdeen defence and possibly one of the best players in the side this season. But if we get him back, and as you say, start... To be fair, they've started a lot of games recently. They've started very well. The one up at Cali Thistle apart, they've started games brightly. But, you know, up at Thistle, we were 4-0 up at half-time. It maybe sounds a wee bit strange to say they didn't start well, but they were run over in the first 20 minutes of that game. But other games this season, they've started very well and set a good tempo from the off. And that's what they've got to do, as you say, get County down, keep your foot in their throat, make sure they don't get back into the game, and ideally go and score a few goals a la Partick Thistle at Pittodrie. You know, that type of performance would be very welcome.
Certainly would. Andrew mentioned Niall McGinn and his importance a bit earlier on, and the Irishman knows what to expect.
Same as sort of any team, really, at the bottom half of the table. They're gonna keep fighting. It's probably for them, with losing games, they're probably hoping for the game to come thick and fast, and like any other team, it's going to happen, so we know it's going to be a difficult game, but one obviously we're looking forward to. The spirit's high in the camp, we've just got to keep kicking on and just keep taking the positives and just keep picking up the results.
The fans, big support home and away this season, another big support obviously will be at Pittodrie for the Ross County game. How important could they be?
No, I think the fans have been brilliant. Even last season, the travelling support was good all year round. Now this year, they've picked it up a bit, and they've kept with us. And the home support and the away support's been unbelievable. So just long may continue. Just shows that the boys are doing the business on the pitch. That the fans are coming in their numbers.
And what about your own form now? You've certainly hit the goal trail of late. You'll be looking to keep that up against Ross County.
Yeah, definitely. I just want to enjoy my football. Obviously, we're playing wide this season, where I haven't been maybe getting as many chances as I would have liked, but I'm still scoring goals and creating chances for others, which is nice. So the main thing for me is personally just to play week in, week out, and just keep enjoying my football. And it's just an exciting season for us, so hopefully long may continue.
Michael Hector says patience could be the key on Sunday.
They're going to be another Motherwell City and try and kill the game and slow it down for us. But we need to, if we take our chances, we can kill off any teams. So we're going to go into the game positive, and we're going to get a good couple of days training and stuff like that, and hopefully put a good result and hopefully send the fans home happy this time.
And Johnny Hayes says everyone is determined to put that Motherwell loss behind them.
We haven't really got time to feel upset about the game and hang our heads down. We've got to get ready for the next game. Preparation starts now straight away. The game's only on Sunday, so we need to make sure we get ourselves right to put today right on Sunday.
In the opposite camp, defender Scott Boyd knows they have to put their current poor run behind them.
A bit frustrating, as obviously we're looking to try and take the 3 points at home. I think it was the two set pieces that they ended up deciding the game for them. We kept on plugging away, had the bar on our second half, but we can't dwell on it too much. We've got a couple of games coming up quick and fast, so we just have to move on now.
Okay, time to have a wee look and predict. And first of all, Andrew, let's have your team. What do you think the starting lineup will be?
Well, I'm guessing here Jamie Langfield in goals, mm-hmm. Joe Shaughnessy, Russell Anderson, Michael Hector, and Mark Reynolds across the back. Three in midfield, Ryan Jack, Willow Flood, and Barry Robson. And we're going to really go for the jugular with three up top, Niall McGinn, Scott Vernon, and Peter Pollitt.
Mm. Dave?
Oh, that sounds very good. Very similar, but I'm going for the 4-1-4-1 formation. Langfield in goals, Shaughnessy, Anderson, Hector and Reynolds at the back. Jack, the sitting player, then Robson, Flood, Pollitt and McGinn behind Vernon.
OK, man to watch?
Man to watch for me, Scott Vernon. He has been in outstanding form of late. He's come back into the side at Zola's expense, and he's been absolutely brilliant. When he hasn't been scoring goals, some of his play, his movement, his game intelligence, if you like, has been superb. And, you know, he has proved beyond all doubt he's not just a goal scorer. He can, do a lot of other things for the side as well.
We spoke to a lot of people after the game up in Inverness last Saturday. Craig Brown, John Robertson, former Inverness manager, and they both said that, particularly in the first half, Scott Vernon, player of the game by a country mile.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Scott Vernon was immense up at Inverness. I mean, he didn't score, granted, but he led the line so well, brought other people into the game. He set up the goal for Peter Pollitt. Now, it's a rare commodity in a striker is unselfishness, because normally, I mean, we were looking right down the line of Scott Vernon bearing down on Dean Brill, and you're thinking, go on, bury that. But no, he saw Peter Pollitt coming up on the inside of him, played the perfect ball for Pollitt, because you looked at it, Peter doesn't break stride at all.
No, he didn't.
And all he had to do was just get a decent contact in the ball, and it was in the net, and that's what happened. And then when Niall McGinn scored, again, he's got one central defender trying to look after him. How do you get past the other central defender? Scott Vernon pulled him away out left, opened the space up, and McGinn from 18 yards against a goalkeeper. It's a bit of an unfair contest, really. But that was just a bit of what Scott Vernon did. He won every header in the air. Meekings and Gary Warren are two decent centre-halves. They're big guys, and they're not the easiest to knock about in the air and such like, but Scott Vernon did that throughout the game. He was a little bit quieter against Motherwell, but against a side that's not so full of confidence, particularly at the back, it'll be Brian McLean and Branislav Micic, I think, will be the two central defenders for Ross County. They can't be looking forward to playing Scott Vernon, so yeah, I think he's certainly going to be one to watch. But another to watch, I think, is Barry Robson. He scored his two goals up at Cali Thistle. Now, Cali Thistle and Ross County is a wee love-hate relationship up there. I'm sure that was ingrained into Barry when he was up at Inverness, so he'll be keen to show the detractors that I'm sure there's plenty of up in the Highlands, that he can do it against both sides in the Highlands. So I think Barry could have a big influence in the game on Sunday.
Two players that we've just been speaking about, both out of contract at the end of the summer. Scott's made no secret of the fact. He said his best Christmas present would be a new contract. Mm-hmm. He wants to stay. Barry Robson, at his age, you would be looking for a year-on-year basis. What do you think the manager's thoughts will be, Dave, in terms of their futures?
I think he would very much like to hold on to the pair of them, Dave, because they add, as we've just mentioned, so much to the squad, but also their influence to the other players, to the younger players. They set an outstanding example, and the youngsters really look up to these guys.
Okay, and Andrew, would you, if you're Derek, what would you be thinking in terms of Barry?
You're definitely signing up Vernon and Robson. I mean, as you say, Barry's going to be year on year, but Scott Vernon's shown already this season, he's got half a dozen goals. For the number of starts that he's got a tremendous conversion rate, but what he's shown in the last three or four games since he came back, I think it was at St Johnstone, wasn't it, that he made his comeback as a first choice, he's hardly put a foot wrong. And Robson, I mean, the doubt about Barry, of course, was going to be how fit was he going to be. Was he going to be able to you know, handle the pace of the SPFL Premiership. He's shown he can do that without any problem at all. He's a great leader on the park, but he's not just one of those that goes around shouting the odds. He goes and he does all the hard work as well, and makes sure that, you know, nobody can point the finger at him and say, well, it's all very well you're shouting, how about you go and do something? You know, there's no question that Robson still has the desire, the enthusiasm, and most importantly, the ability to run a game in the Scottish Premiership. So I would think Derek McInnes will have these two names pretty high up in his list of those he wants to keep.
Okay, prediction time for Sunday, Dave?
Prediction for me, I will go for Aberdeen 2, Ross County 0.
Andrew?
Well, I'm hoping that they're going to convert more chances. They will create chances, I'm sure, against County, so I'm going to go 3-0.
Well, look, there.
Right. So
have you got
3-0?
Hey. Yep. So, well, another clean sheet. Well done, guys.
Yes. Marvellous.
All we've now got to do is actually get a clean sheet.
Yes,
of course.
Please.
Right, there is, of course, a full SPFL Premiership programme on Sunday, and we'll look ahead to the rest of the games after these.
North San Juan with the best preview of the weekend sports action from across the northeast of Scotland and beyond. This is Friday Sports.
In the lunchtime kickoff on Sunday, champions Celtic are in the Highland capital to play Inverness Cali Thistle. Cali midfielder Ross Draper hopes striker Billy Mackay continues to have a big impact.
Brilliant off season, you know, not just, I think people look at his record, maybe haven't watched him play and just see, oh, you know, he's a goal scorer, he scores a lot of goals, but nobody sees when the ball gets clipped into the channel and he chases everything down, lost causes all, you know, for 90 minutes he runs his socks off. So he's a big player for us and he has been this season.
Hoops boss Neil Lennon has some selection problems.
We'll go there, you know, as strong as we can, but the squad is a bit thin. We've got six or seven out at the minute, so the players who have been the bulk of the side this season have, you know, that's 18 unbeaten. I can't ask any more of that at the minute.
Andrew, Inverness against Celtic.
Difficult game to predict, this one, because it depends on what, well, Neil Lennon's saying there, he's got so many people out, but I'm afraid that's diddums as far as I'm concerned. You know, they need a rest in a couple of weeks' time, so they're going to go away and play a tournament in Turkey.
Money talks.
Absolutely. he's right. They've gone 17 games undefeated, and they actually play better away from home than they do at Celtic Park. I think that's commonly agreed by most people. But Cali Thistle, you know, out of 8 games at home, they've had 5 clean sheets. They're difficult to break down, although they had that aberration against us when we ran them riot in that period in the first half. I can't see that happening again. So a very close encounter, but you'd fancy Celtic to nick it maybe 1-0 or 2-1, something like that.
Okay. It's a 2 p.m. start for St Johnston against Dundee United, and Saints manager Tommy Wright has revenge on his mind.
You know, Dundee United have done extremely well. You know, they're getting a lot of plaudits at the minute of how they're playing, and particularly their younger players. But we took a sore one down there in the 4-0. Didn't really think it was a 4-0 game in reflection, but, you know, we'll just take each game as it comes.
How do you see that one? That's quite a tricky one because, again, as we've already mentioned, Dave, how are United going to react to what was a bit of a shock for everybody yesterday?
Exactly. Well, that's a really intriguing one. I mean, nobody expected United to lose 4-1 there to St Mirren. They'll be obviously very keen to bounce back because they've been, you know, in scintillating form in the run-up to that match. St Johnston, by all accounts, they worked very hard. They were quite impressive against Celtic and, you know, might just have sneaked something. So they will be, you know, really going for it as well. They'll fancy their chances. They'll maybe think that Dundee United, they've got them on a good day. United, like I say, they're very keen to bounce back. I could see that one ending up all square, actually, which would be good for Aberdeen. I can see maybe a 1-1.
OK, 1-1 there. The Dons' two opponents after the New Year's Day trip to Tannadice are Kilmarnock and Hibs, and they meet on Sunday at Easter Road. Recently appointed Hibs gaffer Terry Butcher has this message for the supporters.
For the fans' point of view, just keep backing us because we're trying to deliver, we're working our socks off, and we know that one day we are going to score more goals, we are going to get goals at home, and we are going to win.
Andrew, that one, it's another, because Kilmarnock starting to get a few results
They are. I mean, they had an excellent 4-0 win at Tynecastle. What would we have given for that kind of result? They scored four good goals as well. Chris Johnston, the young left winger, is doing well. Chris Boyd is enjoying a sort of twilight spell in his career, banging in goals. Hibs got the two up at Ross County. That's the first time they'll have scored two in goodness knows how long, because that's been their main problem. They just didn't score any goals. They've been managing to keep things reasonably tight at the back, but being unable to score. I can see once again a share of the spoils there. Two sides who are going into the game with a wee bit of confidence behind them and who on their day can play decent football. So I'll sit on the fence with that one and say maybe 2-2.
Okay. At Firhill, Partick Thistle will again be looking for their first home league win of the season when Motherwell come calling. Well, manager Stuart McCall is relishing the next challenge.
Again, another tough game. They're all difficult games, but what it will do, we don't get carried away with it. It's 3 points, a tough, really tough place to come. But it will, you know, build the confidence we'll build within the squad.
Dave, Partick against Motherwell.
You can just envisage another classic smash and grab there, can't you? Because Partick Thistle all season, they've been playing some really good football. They haven't just been packing 10 men behind the ball like you would get so many promoted sides doing. They've gone out and they've had a go. They've maybe tried to play too much football at times. You know, they've been pleasing on the eye but with no cutting edge. I can see Motherwell just sneaking that 1-0.
OK, and finally, beleaguered Hearts go to St Mirren. Visiting boss Gary Locke doesn't have his troubles to seek, but he won't let his players dwell on things.
I've said to them all season, you know, you can't feel sorry for yourself. I think there's one or two things that happen in games that maybe go against you, but, you know, if you work your socks off in games, and that's one thing that the players have done the majority of this season, you certainly couldn't lack their effort and commitment, but that has to be there every week.
Andrew, how do you see that one going?
I think it's going to be another difficult day for Hearts. St Mirren will be really up for this one after their win against Dundee United. Jamie McDonald's going to have a busy afternoon, but you know, I think, you know, the longer this season goes on and Hearts just can't get their points, you know, into a positive number, I think they're doomed. And eventually, the air is going to come out the balloon. When we were down there early on in the season, there was this cause that everybody was fighting for, but that's gradually being eroded, and I can only see St Mirren winning that one fairly handsomely.
Okay, Division 2 or League 2 as it is now, tomorrow Peterhead are away to Berwick. Jim McAnally's men unbeaten in 7, having won 5 of them. We don't have Jim on the show tonight, Dave, but that's another one that they'll be looking to get something, because that lead can change. As we've seen, there's been any number of clubs have been up at the top.
Yeah, what a fascinating battle for the title in League 2. Peterhead worked really hard. They've bided their time. They've been patient. They've played a lot of good football. And they've got their noses in front. And Jim McAnally is a determined guy. He'll want them to stay there. But there's no room for slip-ups because, you know, you've got Clyde just waiting to pounce.
And in terms of also, this week we saw a good friend of ours, Gardner Spears, losing his job. It was almost at an air of inevitability. They just haven't seemed to manage to get things going this year. And despite the fact that Gardner has been very good for Queen's Park in previous seasons.
Yeah, I mean, it's a thankless task being manager of Queen's Park because they're still amateurs. And, you know, anybody that is making a name for themselves is always going to be short term there. I mean, we saw Lauren Shanklin scored a lot of goals for them last season.
Andrew Robertson at United.
You know, they're still a great breeding ground for
Barry Douglas, who went to United and is now playing in Poland.
That's right. You know, I mean, Queen's Park have got a very proud history of producing players who have gone through the ranks there and then moved on to bigger and better things. But that's the inevitability of that job, is that you're going to lose players almost on a weekly basis, and it's an extremely difficult job. Gardner's a lovely guy, and I'm sure he's got the coaching credentials that he won't be out of the game for long, but we wish him well. He was a good friend at Pittodrie.
Yeah, he certainly was. Moving on to the Highland League at Pitmedden, Jim Irving will be at our featured game for Martin United versus Inverurie Locos. United lead the title race by 3 points, and gaffer Steve Patterson is looking forward to the showdown.
This one especially is the double header of the special significance. I think they both teams vying at the top of the league. I think Locos have kind of came under the radar. Nobody's you know, mentioned them, but they're right in the championship hunt. So it's got the makings of a tremendous game.
It should be really exciting, shouldn't it?
Well, we've got to start better than we have in the last two games against them, because each game, well, they beat us 2-0 in the Scottish Cup and we're leading 2-0 at half-time. They beat us 2-0 at half-time in the Aberdeenshire Cup, and obviously we got out of jail there and nicked it in the last minute. But we've got to get out of the box and be really competitive, because I felt we weren't competitive enough in the first two games. So I think it's going to be a fantastic game, and like I say, I think we'll get a really big crowd as well.
How important could home advantage be?
Well, I'm pleased at the first games at North Lodge, but as I say, the game is, locals are potentially just 2 points behind us, so, you know, there's a lot at stake. It's a crucial period in the Highland League calendar. You know, we are the title contenders, having double headers.
If Steve had a sandwich in his hand, it must have been a goner by the
it's
closeness
away.
Of
it's
that
gone.
Seagull. Mm-hmm. So that's probably, or arguably, the game of the day, certainly one of the games of the day.
But what a cracker.
It is. And of course, unlike Scotland, the Highland League and in England, they do this double header, which does make the Christmas thing a wee bit, and they try and make it a wee bit more geographically.
Well, they're not used to do it.
Yeah, I'm sure we did.
Yeah, I'm sure we used to have...
Seems fairly sensible.
It too much like common sense.
That's maybe
say.
What's
That'll
stopping
never
it.
Never happen in the SPFL then.
Absolutely right. The rest of the Highland League, some other good ties as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a wee bit of team news for the Fermartin game. United are without long-term injury absentees Mark Smith and John Calder, while forward Andy Hunter is missing for Locos. In those other matches, Broader Rangers versus Wick Academy, both sides aiming to return to winning ways after losing at home last weekend, with Broader looking to close the gap on the leaders Fermartin and Wick targeting their first win in six games. The Scorries have David Allen and Craig Shearer ruled out. However, Michael Stephen returns. Now, rain is forecast to fall through the night in Brora, so we'll need to keep a close eye on that one. Bucky Thistle are at home to Lossiemouth. Bucky have Donny Munro, and he's injured, and Neil Davidson is away offshore. The forecast shows a wet start to tomorrow morning, with showers forecast to fall until the early parts of the afternoon. It's Clack against Fort William. Clack welcome back Kyle White and Michael Finnis. However, manager Ian Polworth still doesn't have his absentees to seat, with Chris Ross, Brian McLeod, Alistair McLeod, Ross Grant, Struan Woodhouse, John Mackay and Scott Graham all sidelined. Meanwhile, Fort are without Sean Grant and Gordon McCarroll. However, Duncan Campbell, Willie Gemmell and Darren Quigg return to the fold. As with much of the North, showers expected to fall overnight and into the morning in Inverness. Fraserburgh versus Cove Rangers, that should be a cracker. Brock will be aiming for their third straight win against an on-form Cove side, who've won 8 of their last 9 matches while remaining unbeaten throughout that period. New Cove signing Jonathan Smith has netted twice in 2 games from the bench. Huntly versus Keith. Huntly have captain Grant Campbell ruled out through suspension, which is carried over following the postponement of last weekend's game against Fort William. Nairn County are at home to Forest Mechanics. Nairn will aim to make it a perfect send-off for assistant manager Ali McLeod, who will undergo a bone marrow transplant early in the new year. The very best of wishes to Ali. County have Stuart Leslie out, while Andy Neal is on holiday and John Cameron is working. Defender Michael Morrison will be assessed in the morning. Meanwhile, Forrest are without Scott Moore, who's on holiday, while long-term absentees Ross Archibald and Andy Fraser remain sidelined. The final match to tell you about: Turriff United against Deverin Vale. Now, the game could come too soon for Turriff striker Nick Gray. However, long-term absentees Dave McKenzie and Stuart Taylor are missing. Jamie Beegree returns, while new signing Andy McCaskill could make his debut after joining from Keith. Vale have Kyle Ray unavailable. However, Graham Watt, Sean Scott and Scott Fraser return for Charlie Charlesworth's side.
This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1. Still to come, we've got the junior fixtures for tomorrow and also the latest down south.
North Sound 1, the official station of the Dons. Keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie. This is Friday Sport.
Yeah, welcome back to Friday Sport. The time is 12 minutes to 7 o'clock. There's a full junior programme, weather permitting, and so far we seem to have escaped some of the really bad stuff, and hopefully with the temperature still reasonably high, there shouldn't be too much cancellations.
No, it should be all right tomorrow. So the PMAC Group First Division East sees Buckenhaven Hearts against Bridge of Don Thistle, Cruden Bay against Glen Tanner, Sunnybank travelling to Fraserburgh United, Lewis United against Newmacher United, and Parkvale against Colony Park. In the PMAC Group First Division West, it's Burghead Thistle against White Hills, Fochabers are visiting Dufftown, Isle of Vale travel to Forest Thistle, Nairn St Ninian entertain Bucky Rovers, and it's Port Gordon Victoria against Inverness City. In the PMAC Group Super League, Bankery St Ternan welcome East End, Cooter play Banks Edie, who will have Andy Anderson, a striker formerly of Keith, making his debut for them. It's Devonside against Longside, Dice Juniors against New Elgin, Hermes travelling to Ellen United, Maud against Hall Russell United, and finally Stonehaven against FC Stonywood.
Thanks, Andrew. And moving down south now, Cardiff will have to do without a manager in tomorrow's Premier League game at fellow struggler Sunderland after sacking Malky Mackay. And there's yet another festive big game between two title contenders. Richard Newman looks ahead.
Malky Mackay's job had been hanging by a thread for weeks. His relationship with Cardiff owner Vincent Tan beyond repair. A 3-0 defeat at home to Southampton would have made the Malaysian's decision easier. But with the club 1 point above the drop, it's a bad time to face another relegation rival. Cardiff host bottom of the table Sunderland tomorrow. Here's their boss, Gus Poyet.
If we were able to keep a clean sheet against Man City, which every weekend is 3, 4, 6, 7s and 5s, it shows you that we are able to do it against the rest of the team. So it's up to us, you know. We need to make sure we do the basics, and if we do it week in, week out, we're going to be all right.
The big game of the weekend has third place Chelsea taking on next place Liverpool. Stamford Bridge boss Jose Mourinho will want to put one over the Merseysiders, but admits his relationship with Brendan Rodgers is very different to that of his with ex-Anfield chief Rafa Benitez.
The manager is one of my best friends in the game, so no rival. And full respect for a team with a history like Liverpool.
Second place Manchester City have what seems to be the easiest of opponents in the top four, though Crystal Palace have been feistier under Tony Pulis. Of the other games tomorrow, Manchester United head to Norwich, Aston Villa host Swansea, Fulham go to Hull, while struggling West Ham against West Brom gets the day's action started. On Sunday, as well as Chelsea-Liverpool, current leaders Arsenal face in-form Newcastle. Manager Arsene Wenger knows both teams are in good shape right now.
Newcastle is in full confidence as well, so that will be another test, but the team wants to do well, and the character is great. The concentration is top.
Also on Sunday, Everton play Southampton, and it's Tottenham against Stoke.
Well, I must admit, I think Malky Mackay is well out of Cardiff just for his own sanity.
Absolutely. Andrew. I mean, unfortunately, there's a sort of pattern emerging down south of all these foreign owners making what can only be termed vanity purchases, trying to buy English Premier League sides. They've got no feeling for the history and tradition of clubs, which goes back more than 100 years. And Vincent Tan coming in there, you know, changes the shirt colour to red because it's lucky in the Far East. You know, their nickname's the Bluebirds. You know, most of their punters still go wearing blue tops and blue scarves and all the rest. And, you know, as you said off here, never ever trust an owner who goes to a game with, A, dark glasses on, the slicked back hair and dodgy tash look, plus a replica shirt over the top of a shirt and tie. I'm sorry, no.
Yeah. I've had some fashion disasters in my time.
Oh, you not that bad. Surely.
You have.
Surely. Surely not that bad.
But no, it's a difficult thing now to work out who's going to want to take on that job. I mean, if ever there's a poison chalice, the Cardiff City job is that. Because on pure footballing ability and footballing target achievement, you cannot possibly sack Malky Mackay. But because of the breakdown between himself and the owner, I think, to be honest, as you say, for Malky Mackay himself, the best thing for him is to get as far away from there as possible. But it's so difficult to tear yourself away from a club that you have put so much effort into taking to where it is today.
Yeah, I think Malky Mackay won't find a shortage of job offers, Dave. But
no.
The whole point with Vincent Tan is just one of these owners who doesn't get it. He doesn't get football, simple as that.
Doesn't seem to have a clue. If ever there was a great illustration, Dave, of the phrase, more money than sense, this is it. He's a billionaire, but he doesn't seem to have a clue about a football club. I have to say, a lot of praise due to Malky Mackay, because, you know, a lesser man might have backed down and gone, OK, then I resign, or they might have cobbled together some nonsense about it being a mutual decision. But, you know, Mackay, he's a strong man. A lot of respect due to him for that. He'd always insisted he wouldn't resign. So, you know, well done to him. But like you say, there will be plenty of clubs very keen to secure his services.
Yeah, well, with a few minutes left of what is the last Friday Sport of 2013. It's been a year that seems to have just whizzed by.
Oh, doesn't time fly by when you're having fun?
Absolutely. Andrew, your highlights?
From a golfing perspective, I think that two-week period at Castle Stewart and Muirfield when Phil Mickelson won both the Scottish Open and the Open back-to-back. Fantastic play by him, and really looking forward to seeing him playing at Royal Aberdeen next year in the Scottish Open. That, and obviously the great success that Andy Murray had at Wimbledon, which was fantastic. It's difficult to top that one.
Yeah, I mean, having had the privilege to be there, it is going to be difficult to top that. And
when you think how many British tennis fans have never had, well, had lived their lives without ever seeing A, a British finalist, or B, a British winner.
I know.
You can count yourself lucky at the age of 85 that you got there.
Yes, very good. Yes, Dave, your highlights?
And Andy Murray, I was going to say, and Andy Murray would probably be top of that list. Just absolutely magnificent. I mean, I'm a football fan first and foremost, but, you know, tennis is my second favourite sport, and Andy Murray was absolutely fantastic against Djokovic. What will live forever in my memory is that that final set, that final game where he raced up to 40 love, match point, and Djokovic pegged him back, and it went to deuce, and it went one way then the other. It was very stressful to watch.
It was drama of the highest order.
Oh, absolutely. You couldn't have scripted it. And then when Andy finally got over the line, what an outpouring of emotion and joy. It was just marvellous.
Yeah, and looking ahead to, you know, we've said it, we do feel there's something perhaps just a wee bit special going on at Pittodrie, looking ahead to 2014.
Absolutely. I mean, I am very hopeful that we're going to have silverware to parade down Union Street in an open-top bus sooner rather than later in the League Cup, obviously.
Don't see why not.
Difficult Scottish Cup tie, but we've done it before, going to Celtic Park and winning. But yeah, there's definitely a feel-good factor about Aberdeen Football Club that we hope burgeons over 2014.
And what about you, Dave? What are you looking forward to? Yeah, sporting-wise, Commonwealth Games in Glasgow, of course.
Commonwealth Games is going to be fantastic.
Ryder Cup.
Yeah, absolutely. So much to look forward to. But, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic, like Andrew is, that Aberdeen can land some silverware. The gaffer's got it spot on. Everybody's upbeat, but he's keeping everybody's feet on the ground at the same time.
Yep, that's what you have to do. So that's just about it. Tomorrow, Jim Irving will be bringing you updates from Pitmedden for Martin United against Inverurie Locos. Andrew Shiney, Dave Galloway, myself, Dave McDermott, have a wonderful new year when it comes. All the best for 2014, and come on, ye Reds, as ever.